promoting cultural awareness, togetherness, and education through the arts. We're CRN. And now, for the Chicano Pick of the Month, here on CRN.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another rendition of the Chicano Pick of the Month. We have a very special person as the Chicano Pick of the Month this month. That's Lalo Guerrero, and he is the father of Chicano music. Started his career back in 1938. All along, he's been making music that crosses over every genre imaginable. And we're lucky to have his son, Mark Guerrero. Hi, Mark.
How you doing, Frank?
Doing good.
Great.
Listen, I wanted to cover a few things about your father. I know that that he won a number of awards. Could you tell us a little bit about the awards that that he won?
Okay. Well, you know, what's funny is that, you know, I mean, his whole career, he got awards, you know, and it got to the point he had so many trophies and proclamations and plaques that he literally had to put them out in the garage because there was no room in the house. He had them in boxes. He had them in a defunct refrigerator full of awards, you know. So he had a lot of awards throughout his entire life, but the big ones came as he got, you know, very much older, and the biggest ones were, of course, the big one was the National Medal of Arts from President Clinton in 1996, I believe it was.
Right.
And
now he also win an award back in 1980 during the Carter administration.
I believe that one was the National Endowment of the Arts Fellowship.
Right.
Yeah, and he was at the Carter White House.
Right.
And he also was declared a national folk treasure by the Smithsonian Institution, which is huge, you know.
Right.
And, of course, he got the Nosotros Lifetime Achievement Award, and he was inducted into the Tejano Music Hall of Fame, and this year into the Arizona Music and Entertainment Hall of Fame. But, you know, generally speaking, you know, he always liked getting awards, but the one that meant the most to him was the White House National Medal of Arts. He was quoted as saying, this is the first time in my life I feel like an American.
Oh,
isn't that a heavy quote?
The thing that was most memorable about your dad, it seemed like the love from the culture was his number one thing, and music was secondary. He definitely loved what he was doing. He certainly deserved all the recognition that he got. I would have liked to have seen a lot more. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of artists that... when they only get the recognition whenever they leave us, and I would have liked to have seen a lot more recognition during the time that he was alive. And he was such a generous person. You know, he would go and do concerts at schools. He would do all these different things for the culture. I remember when he played at Riverside, the thing that stuck with me was the fact that he talked about the culture, and mostly about the children in our culture, the Chicanitos. And, you know, he started to cry. You know, that's the kind of love that he had for the culture. And that's what made him so special. That's when I think of Lalo Guerrero, that's a thing that stands out. And of course, the fact that he had beautiful music. He knew when to be serious, but he also had the funny stuff. You know, the stuff that, sometimes we take life a little too seriously. And so he wrote a lot of music.
But no, he did love the culture. He loved Mexico. And his first song, Canción Mexicana, reflected his love for Mexico and of Mexican music. And he loved Chicano culture. There's no question about it.
Right. On one of the songs, and it might even be the Mexicano song, where he talks about the difference from American Mexican, the Mexican American, and the Mexican Mexican, and how he talks about it wasn't my fault that I was born on this side of the border. We had mentioned this earlier, how it seems like the Latino, the Mexican American, has to work a little bit extra harder just to be recognized, and you know, that kind of confirmed the fact that you know, there are even the Mexicans that look at the Mexican Americans in a different way.
Oh yeah, well, you know, there was and is some discrimination between, you know, Mexicans from Mexico and Chicanos, or as they call them, or mochos, right? When my dad went to Mexico City in 1958, he went down there with the idea of becoming a star in Mexico and living there. We moved down to Mexico City. My brother and I were not told we were moving there. We were told we were going on vacation.
Right.
We went down there. He got a record deal, and And when it was time to sign contracts, and they said, where were you born? And he said, Tucson, Arizona. Suddenly, there was excuses, and the deal fell through.
Isn't that amazing?
He lost a possibility of a big contract because he was a Pocho.
That is so
wild. That's the kind of discrimination that he suffered there. And, you know, I'm happy to say, though, that all these years later, that in the last few years, maybe 5 or 10 years, it's really starting to be bridged, that gap, because you got all these rock and Espanol groups like Maldita Vecindad and Café Tacuba and people like that who recognize and embrace Chicano culture, and they have songs called Mojado and Pachuco, and they use Calo and they say Orale, and they tour the Southwest, and they love Aztlán, and they're getting real hip to Chicano culture in Mexico, and they love it, and they're embracing it, and you know, so things are starting to happen.
Right.
That's good.
I remember your father when, you know, in his early days, he was using that calo. And for those of you who don't understand what that means, it's basically Latino street slang. Some of the other songs that were memorable as well, it was No Chicanos on TV. Now, when was that written?
He wrote that like in the early 80s. It was one of his latest.
Isn't that
songs,
funny? Because now, you know, back in the early 80s, he recognized that people on TV didn't look like his kids.
And to this day, it's pretty much like that. Well, like my dad says in his song, he goes, he's talking about Huggies, you know, the little diapers.
Yeah.
He goes, you know, on TV you see black and white and Japanese. Chicano babies also pee, but you don't see them on TV.
That's right. And he also talks about some of the shows. Up until now, you know, they have George Lopez, and they had a wonderful program. It was called Greetings from Tucson. Now, your dad and I'm from Tucson, and that was a very funny show. I'm really upset that they took it off, but that was a wonderful a show. It didn't put Latinos in a bad light. And this one was actually a family. You know, they worked hard. They had kids that grew up. You know, they had the same problems that all kids have. And so it was a positive thing. Another song that I remember I left my car in San Francisco.
Right.
And then he also had Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Bus Boys.
Right.
Okay, and the one that we're going to be playing, as a matter of fact, in a couple of minutes here, is Minifalda de Reinalda.
Minifalda de Reinalda.
Right.
And I played on that record when I was 15 years old.
Right.
I played lead guitar, and my little teenage band, Mark and the Escorts, were on the record. And this was a very unique record because there was literally a ranchera band with an accordion player set up in the studio, and my band was set up in the studio, and the record started with a ranchera, and then there'd be a break, and we'd come in, and then they'd come in. It was all done with no overdubs, no tricks. It was two bands taking turns on this record, and you'll hear that.
And we will be playing that here momentarily. People are always trying to get on, you know, all singers are trying to get onto a record label, and he was probably on, what, about 15 labels?
Like,
you know, Imperial, he was on RCA, he was on Colonial, he was on EMI, and then also the EMI Latino, I think he was on as well. He had a number of different record labels that he was on. If I remember right, didn't he end up making a record label of his own?
No. Well, what happened was my dad's late producer, Manuel Acuña, who was his producer throughout his whole career, he didn't produce every record my dad ever made, but he was there during the Vocalion days, his first record deal, the Imperial Records days in the late 40s, early 50s. He was there the Colonial years in the 60s. He was my dad's main producer throughout his life, and he and my dad started a label in the 50s called L&M, Lalo y Manuel, and they had another one called
Kind of like A&M.
Real Records. It was
right.
A bilingual word, Real and Real.
Right.
And they owned it together, but Manuel was the businessman. He ran it. My dad was just a partner in name and probably legally, but, you know, my dad was the music guy. He wasn't the businessman. So he co-owned those two labels in the 50s. And that was it. Colonial was Manuel Acuña's label in the 60s.
He also had another memorable thing. He owned Lalo's.
Right.
And where was that?
That was on Brooklyn Avenue, which is now called, I think, Cesar Chavez Avenue in East Los Angeles.
Right.
And he owned it through the 60s. It was like maybe 62 to 72, basically.
Right.
And it was very popular. It was very, very nice. It was small. It held maybe 300 people or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it had a nice bandstand. My dad had a great orchestra that played there, and he had a ball, and it made him a living through that period.
Right. And then later on, of course, like in the late 40s, early 50s, he, I guess, used to perform a lot over at La Bamba, which was in Hollywood. A lot of the Hollywood stars would go over there and enjoy his music.
I think it was in downtown L.A., though. I don't think.
Oh, it was. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was in downtown by Olvera Street. And, yeah, a lot of the stars would, you know, James Garfield and Anthony Quinn and a lot of the big stars would come in and you know.
Right.
Dance.
Now, you were on the stage back in, I think it was, what was it, in 81, I think it was, when you guys went out of the country and did the, what was it?
Oh, Paris?
Yes, in
Paris.
That
was, I think it was 98, 97 or 98,
oh, yeah, right.
98
okay.
I think. Yeah, it was pretty recently.
And you were on stage, you were a musician when he went up and he sang Vario Hollywood.
Vario Viejo.
And now here's people that probably were not exposed to his music. Tell me the response. I understand that he got quite a response on when he played that song. Now, for people who haven't heard it, we're going to be playing it a little bit later on. And during the course of the Chicano Pick of the Month, where Lalo is featured, all of this month, we're just going to put Lalo music into rotation. And we really would love for you to recommend this to all your friends, because he was really an icon that really needs to be recognized. And one of the things that that I remember from Lalo when I've met him is that he was definitely a pioneer. You could tell when somebody is an original. And hopefully through all the music that you guys are listening to during the course of the month, as he's the Chicano Pick of the Month, you'll understand how and why he became such a legend and ended up getting the title of the father of Chicano music.
Many people have credited him with basically being the first Chicano music artist and kind of creating Chicano music, you know.
Right.
Right at the beginning, bringing in the calor, bringing in the bilingualism,
yeah.
You know, singing about Chicanismo very early, from the early 40s, you know.
Right. Now, I grew up in Tucson, as I mentioned, and I had an uncle that spoke calor, and it was kind of cool to listen to an artist that sounded like my uncle. Today, you have the kids of today that listen to artists like Kid Frost, all these Latino rappers and Latino R&B artists and stuff. They speak street slang, but they don't realize that it was your father that really introduced that
first,
to the mainstream.
Right. Yeah, he first used Galo on the Imperial record label back in the probably mid-40s, like 46, 47. Whenever it was he first signed with Imperial, he had a group called the Trio Imperial, and they must have done about 10 or 12 songs using calo, you know, La Pachuquilla, El Pachuco,
right.
El Pachuco y El Tarzán, Los Comadres Apachucadas, stuff like this.
Right.
And he had all these recordings in trio, you know, uh-huh. Guitars, vocals, harmonies, in the trio format, he was doing that. And later, in the later 40s, he brought in Los Cinco Lobos, was the name of his band, mm-hmm. And they were like, that's when they started like rocking out, doing blues and boogie-woogie and swing and cumbias, and they weren't even cumbias, and it was kind of like a samba type, mm-hmm. You know, different Latino rhythms, and putting the calo on it. And those were later, some of those songs were picked up by the play and movie Zoot Suit in the late 70s. They took like three or four of those songs.
That's right, yeah.
And it helped the success of Zoot Suit.
You know, there's some artists, I think Steely Dan is one of them. I'm sure people are familiar with them. Every once in a while, he'll go into the studio and just come up with something totally different than what he had prior. Like, take, for instance, Paul Simon. He ended up getting together with that black lady, Mambazo, and came up with something completely different. And that was so appealing about your father, is that none of his tunes sounded alike.
Right. You know, the other thing that I think made him so successful for so long was that he always moved and changed with the times.
Right, right.
Just whatever was happening, he would embrace the new music that would come in, the new artists. He liked Elvis, he liked the Beatles, and he liked Chuck Berry. He just embraced whatever was coming along, not only as far as artists and styles of music, but whatever was happening in the news or whatever. He just kept current. You know, he never, you know, just became a dinosaur. He was always, you know.
Well, that's what made him so innovative. And why his legacy will just continue to live on. Before we go on to La Minifalda de Reinalda, we're going to talk when I get back about his work with Cesar Chavez. I know the plight of the farm worker really hit your father hard. He did a number of events and even some songs about Cesar Chavez. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll get back right after this.
Okay.
Se volaron la barba con esa moda de las minifaldas. No dejan nada a la imaginación, pues si se agachan se les mira hasta la espalda. Tengo una novia que se llama Reinalda, también se pone ya a su minifalda. Y cuando pasa un compadre del alma, le juro que hasta la lengua se me escalda. Le canto así: Reinalda, Reinalda, quítate tu minifalda, que cuando bailas al cogó y se te mira hasta la espalda. Reinalda, Reinalda, ya quítate tu minifalda, que cuando bailas al cogó, cogó, hasta la lengua se me escalda. De las minifaldas es un problema poderse agachar. Al levantar algún objeto se sientan como helicóptero al aterrizar. Como te quiero, mi linda Reinalda, tienes los ojos color de esmeralda. Y cuando te pones tu minifalda, pues ¿quién te mira los ojos, Reinalda? Le canto así: Reinalda, Reinalda, ya quítate tu minifalda, que cuando bailas a cocó y se te mira hasta la espalda. Pero Reinalda, Reinalda, ya quítate.
All right, that was La Minifalda de Reinalda.
Example of what I was saying is how he stayed current was, you know, that was during the miniskirt craze in the mid-60s, and like around 65 when they first came out, and he wrote a song about it, you know.
Right, right.
And yeah, and he asked my band to come in and play the rock and roll segments of it, and I was 15, I had a 12-string Rickenbacker guitar, and I had just gotten it, so I took it into the studio, and I did my solos, as you just heard, with a 12-string, which was kind of unusual for Chicano radio at that time, or Latino radio, to hear a 12-string Rickenbacker rock solo. It was pretty radical.
Well, you know, you paralleled your dad in the sense that, you know, his career, he started at the age, what, of 17. He actually wrote a song that
he wrote. His first song was perhaps his most famous song, La Canción Mexicana, which was recorded a year or two later by the great Lucha Reyes, who was the big diva of Mexico at the time, ranchera singer. And later Lola Beltran recorded it, and it's been recorded by many artists. Years, and you know, you run into in Mexico or here will know that song.
Right. Well, it's important to point out that even though, and he's sang about it on a number of occasions about how you know, the difference between the Mexican American and the Mexican, but the Mexicans actually embraced that song as the unofficial Mexican national anthem.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, people love that song. It shows pride in Mexico, pride in Mexican music, and. It's a wonderful song.
Right. Let's get back to the trip that you had taken with your father when he went out and he played the Barrio Viejo, where he got an incredible response. Tell me more about that, because that was, as I understand, a very, very special time. Yeah. Because of the fact that you guys were introducing the Chicano culture, right, to yet a different audience. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, it was amazing because as La Minifalda just showed, I had been recording with my dad since I was a teenager. I had been writing songs with him. I even participated on a lot of those Ardillita albums, sometimes as one of the Ardillitas, providing the music or bringing a band in and on some of the recordings. And I had done a few gigs with him over the years where we were like with two acoustic guitars, or I'd do a set, he'd do a set, we'd do a couple songs together. So we had performed together. But this Paris thing in 97 or so, 98, was the first time that I actually put a band together and played with him as a whole show,
Right.
And, it's amazing. We could have been doing it probably since the 60s, but we didn't get around to it till he was already in his, late 70s or so, or early 80s. And we made up for lost time, I'll tell you. But so basically for Paris, it was me. I was the musical director of the band. We had a guitarron player by the name of Lorenzo Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
He played bass on guitarron. And then we actually used Flaco Jimenez's drummer. Flaco was there in the concert as well. And we had a little combo, and we did like a 12-song set. I got to do a couple of my songs on the Boulevard and Oh Maria. I got to sing and also. And we did a variety of my dad's things. We did, a song about Cesar Chavez. We did comedy, There's No Tortillas, Tacos for Two. We did Elvis Perez. We did Pachuco songs. And what was wonderful, here's a French audience. Some knew a little Spanish, but basically, they were French, and English and Spanish were not their languages.
Right.
But yet, our songs were in English, Spanish, Galo, mixed, and they loved the show. They went wild with the songs because they could understand what was happening. They could understand the rock and roll. They could understand Elvis Perez. We were singing about a Chicano Elvis, a Mexican Elvis.
Right.
They went crazy, and the response was incredible. And my dad did do Barrio Viejo, which is a song he wrote very late in life. He wrote it, he was probably in his early 70s when he wrote it, and it's one of his greatest songs. And it's just such a beautiful, soulful song.
Oh, I know.
He tried to explain to the audience in English and Spanish that it was about his barrio, but that anybody can relate, because it's about their barrio, their neighborhood.
Right, and how things are changing.
It's a universal thing. And he did the song, and people just picked up on the emotion of it, and it got a tremendous response. But it was the most emotional gig I've ever done in my life because,
really?
A, being the first concert, full concert I ever did with my dad, B, representing Chicano music in Europe, in another country, and C, the response that we got. I mean, when we finished, they whistled, clapped, stomped, and whistling is like cheering there, like in Mexico.
Right.
Mexico's like that too, isn't it? And, it went on for like minutes.
Wow.
It was incredible. So I was very emotional.
Well, I heard your father sing Barrio Viejo, and he sings it with full conviction because, it's a life experience.
He almost always cried at the end of it. When he got to the end and he says, you and I, the Barrio and me, you and I, let's die together and let's be buried surrounded by 1,000 memories.
Right.
He gets to that part. We've both gotten old.
And nobody wants us anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's touching it, for any culture. And, any culture can relate to that. I'm from Tucson, and my mother and father, they grew up there in Tucson. They were from, I don't know if you're familiar with Tucson as far as the layout. Barrio Viejo is near the Tucson Community Center, which is, right kind of in the middle of Tucson. My parents lived in Barrio Hollywood, which is near the A Mountain. And they used to, you know, they on Saturdays, because, you know, the Latinos unfortunately didn't have the kind of money that the their white counterparts had. And so on Saturdays, they would get together, and I love hearing these stories where they would actually put together tents. You know, these they would just put tarps up, like huge tents. And on Saturdays, all the teenagers would go and listen to music, and they would dance. And your dad's music was often played at these gatherings, you know, because of the fun. That's one thing about your dad's music. It's so fun. It's fun to listen to. And then, of course, you know, there's some that'll make you cry, you know.
Right. Hey, I didn't know that there was a Barrio Hollywood. No wonder you said Barrio Hollywood a while ago. I didn't know there was one in Tucson.
Right, uh-huh.
Oh, cool. My dad, the barrio he grew up in was called Barrio Libre when he lived there.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
Now they call it Barrio Viejo because it's the old barrio.
Right. And it's the one that's around the Tucson Community Center, right?
Yes.
Right, that's what I thought. And it is sad because I do remember as a child when we used to pass by there. As a matter of fact, we had friends that lived there. We had family that lived there. And now, where it used to be these beautiful little adobe houses, there's some that are apartment complexes, and you know, it's just taken the whole Latino culture out of the picture, you know.
That's
and
it is sad. My dad was born in an adobe house there in 1916 on Christmas Eve.
And you know, it's funny because in the Latin culture, our community and our home is almost like an extension of our family. You know, it's almost like another family member. And so needless to say, whenever you come back years later and it's different, it really hurts you. Because you know your friend or your family member's not there anymore, you know, and it's really sad. I'm going to go ahead and play this song, and I love this song because you know it has a lot of Elvis's tune, Elvis Perez on CRN.
Elvis Perez, el mariachi de la tierra del tepache es la nueva sensación. Chamaquitas y mujeres se desmayan cuando Pérez les entona esta canción. No eres nada más que un perro llorón. No eres nada más que un perro llorón. A otra parte con tus pulgas eres perro corrientón. Mariachada de eso no le importa nada, no quiere cantar el sol. Hoy no más con su guitarra, pegándole cachetadas, canta puro rock and roll. Si quiere usted saber dónde me puede ver, se va por esta calle hasta llegar al hotel. El de los abandonados, qué vida tan sola. No se oye allí más que llorar. Así canta Elvis Pérez, ídolo de las mujeres, cantante de rock and roll. Ya no le gusta la birria y el tequila le fastidia, toma soda con hot dogs. En San Juan de Dios nació, con puro frijol se crió, pero ya se le olvidó. Hoy se viste de tejano en lugar de andar de charro y canta puro rock and roll. Junto al teléfono me puedes encontrar. Si no vienes a verme, debías de llamar. No seas cruel con mi corazón. Yo no quiero otro amor, baby, solo a ti te adoro yo. Así canta Elvis Pérez, ídolo de las mujeres, cantante de rock and roll. Ya está tiro los guaraches, ya abandonó los mariachis, ahora canta rock and roll.
All right, that was Elvis Perez, Lalo Guerrero, of course. And, you know, that's, again, another song that shows the humor side of Lalo Guerrero. And the next couple of songs that we play during the course of the program are going to show the the serious side of Lalo Guerrero. Like I mentioned before, he can make you laugh, and he could also make you cry. There was some time.
That's one of the things. He did such a diverse, you know.
Right.
His music was so diverse that there are a lot of people that just know him for the funny things, or just know him for the pachuco things, or just know him for the arritas. But he did it all. It was amazing.
You know, he was not, that's what I dug about him, is that he was not afraid to show every element, every part of the Latino culture. You know, you see pictures of him in zoot suits, you see him, you know, in ties, you know, he'll do whatever it takes, you know, whatever theme may be, he's going to step right into that part. And he does it very well. He's like a, you know, he's a veteran to everything that he does. You know, and that's what's wonderful about him. He was on a number of different television programs during his career, just to name a few: Steve Allen Show, Art Linkletter Show, Siempre en Domingo, Sábado Gigante. He was on Culture Clash. But in 1993, Paul Rodriguez, the comedian, asked him to be a co-host for
my brother Dan, who you're going to interview.
Right.
Shortly, I understand.
Exactly.
He was the co-producer of that show.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. Yeah. We're going to be talking to your brother. He let the audience to know, even though you probably haven't heard his name, you know his work. He's been a part of, he's produced many shows, Maria Conchita Alonso show, Al Dia con Maria. He's also done, didn't he do the Imagen Awards? Or no, the ALMA Awards?
I know he did Vida Awards.
Right. There was a number of different, as a matter of fact, you know what? Go to danguerrero.com. And yours is markguerrero.net, isn't it? Or is it
.com? .com works as well.
Oh, okay, good.
Guerrero.com or .net.
But definitely go to these sites, because especially if Mark's, you know, I was going through his site, and he has a lot of stuff. If you're following Chicano history, just go to the site. I mean, this is just a wealth of information, and definitely one that you're going to enjoy reading. And also, he has some pictures of his father as he was going through his career as a young child, and or actually as a young man. He was on a number of different groups, and you'll see him. I mean, these things go back all the way, what, to the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
Oh, man, these things are treasures. So definitely go check it out. It's markguerrero.net or com. One of the other things I wanted to cover was that he had a number of different, there were either streets or schools that were named after him. I understand that they had a complex in Tucson that went up.
Yeah, he was very proud and happy about
that. Oh, man, that was wonderful.
They built an elderly housing community. It might even been, you know, like low income, but like really beautiful, classy, beautiful place to put elderly people, Latinos that, you know, maybe aren't financially the greatest, you know, set.
Right.
But what's wonderful about it and amazing was they used the facade and the location of my dad's junior high school that he attended. I think it was called Drachman.
Right.
And so they left the facade of the main building of the school, and they built the housing development there, and they named it Lalo Guerrero's Barrio Viejo Elderly Housing.
Wow.
So he was thrilled about that.
What part of Tucson?
That just happened like a couple of years ago, 2003, I believe it was.
Wow. Now, what part of Tucson is that?
You know, I think it's not too far from Barrio Libre, but you know, I'm not sure, but I think it's around there.
Okay, Barrio Libre. That's the barrio that ended up becoming Barrio Viejo. Viejo meaning old, of course.
Right.
Now, we're going to go ahead and break away to another song. This one is Pecadora. Now, this song right here is going to be a little different in the sense that this is a little more serious. It's slower. And, you know, yet another side of Lalo Guerrero. And I hope you enjoy it. Here it is, Pecadora.
Divina claridad, la de tus ojos, de afanos como gotas de cristal, uvas que se humedecen con sollozos,
sangre y sonrisa juntas al mirar. Sangre y sonrisa juntas al mirar. ¿Por qué te hizo el destino pecadora? Si no sabes vencer el corazón, ¿por qué pretende odiarte quien te adora? ¿Por qué vuelve a quererte quien te odió? Si cada noche tuya es una aurora, si cada nueva lágrima es el sol, ¿por qué te hizo el destino pecadora? Si no sabes vender el corazón. Es el sol, ¿por qué te hizo el destino pecadora? Si no sabes vender el corazón.
That was Pecadora, and that was one of his first songs.
When he signed with Vocalion, his first record label in 1939, he was a member of a group called Los Carlistas. Uh-huh. They were out of Tucson. And when he moved to L.A., he got this record deal and brought the Carlistas, and they recorded, you know, quite a few sides. Then he went to the Imperial label, and there he had a different trio called Trio Imperial, and he had a different group. In fact, I think the Carlistas were a quartet. This was a trio, Trio Imperial. And they recorded about, you know, God, at least 100 recordings.
My goodness.
Betty Al. And, but, you know, my dad was the standout voice.
Right.
And so they offered him to become a solo artist on the label. And his first solo recording of his life was this Pecadora. And that was the first one. It was probably in the late 40s sometime, mid-40s. So, I mean, his voice was quite beautiful.
And again, you could see that he would get different musicians. He would get different, and of course with the different musicians came a different genre of to what the musicians were accustomed to. So it gave the sound a totally different sound. That's what was so great. You know, you listen to a Huey Lewis and the News song, and to me they all sound the same. You know, and
or Green Day, or
right, exactly. But your dad's music, it was like, my goodness, you know what it was.
Well,
like,
the song would dictate the instrumentation. If he had a ranchera, they'd bring in a mariachi. If he had a beautiful ballad, they'd bring in an orchestra. You know?
What was his travels like? I mean, obviously that had some influence on the different styles of music. Where did he get to go and play his music? You know, that might have influenced some of the genres that he ended up putting on his records.
Well, I mean, the genres probably just came from, you know, Tucson and Los Angeles and the Southwest, where he spent most of his life. And, you know, because the Chicano music genre was and still is a small niche, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
you know, he basically, you know, when he had these trios and his early groups, he was playing in L.A. and Tucson and, you know, towns nearby. It wasn't too much touring going on. In the 50s, he had an orchestra, like a 7 or 8-piece band, with a trumpet and sax and, you know, basic small orchestra. And they did tour the Southwest extensively. I mean, you know, they went beyond. I mean, they went to Detroit and they went to the Midwest and then Nebraska. And, And he did a lot of touring in the late 50s before, even in the, throughout the 50s, before he bought his own nightclub. Then he was stationary. But he did travel with that band. But unfortunately, you know, once again, because of the small market, the small niche of Chicano music, he wasn't playing in Europe. He wasn't playing, you know, I don't even think he was playing in Mexico.
And that's what's sad is that, and it is happening today. But I think that there is a new market that's opening up.
Well, that's one of the things I'm trying to do with my website, aside from just telling the history of what we've accomplished, you know, Chicano musicians over the decades, but to make it a wider audience, you know, instead of so that we can be recognized as part of world music, so that people will look at us like they'd look at Cajun music or Zydeco music or, you know, South African music, like, oh, Chicano music, you know, people should be interested in it all over the world. So Chicano groups can, you know, break the bounds of just playing in the Southwest and go play in Paris and in Germany, and trying to be a little bubbling under here, some interest in Chicano music in France and England. It's starting to, you know, Japan for sure.
There's a fellow out of England, isn't he, that just wrote a book about Chicano music?
Well, he wrote a book about the San Francisco Latin rock boom called Voices of Latin Rock. It just came out a couple months ago, and it's very good, and it has the history of, you know, how Santana surfaced, and Malo, and Azteca, and Sapo, and the whole San Francisco Latino scene. It's a very interesting book.
Right. Now, there's so many different, that's one thing about our culture, the Latino culture, is that, you know, we listen to the Beatles, and we listen to, you know, the Tupac, and then we listen to Los Panchos, and then we, you know, one of the most unique things that an Anglo could ever experience is to go to a Latino function, because right after Tupac plays Los Tigres del Norte, you know, and we're the only culture that embraces just about everything.
That's one of the beauties of Chicano music as it is.
Well, the influences.
Chicano artists tend to be, you know, to use a fancy word, an amalgam of their influences. So,
exactly.
So you'll have like a tierra, you know, they're influenced by a lot of Mexican music and salsa, etc., but they're also influenced by doo-wop, R&B, the group Chicago, Santana, you know. And most Chicano artists have, you know, their own influences. In my case, my Chicano music is sort of influenced by the Beatles and Bob Dylan and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And, you know, I have different sort of influences along with the Latino side.
Right.
So it's just, you know, you bring to the table what you picked up as an American.
Right.
And you combine that with your Mexican and Chicano roots.
You know, if you ask the Rolling Stones, I mean, all the black artists were their influences, the blues artists and stuff like that. And that's what's wonderful about our culture is that, you know, we not only do we come in all colors, but we also listen to everything. I feel that we get a little bit better played at the smorgasbord. So, you know, one of these, I have this really funny story about the No Tortilla song, and you know what? It's going to be on rotation during the course of the Chicano Pick of the Month with Lalo Guerrero, so you'll know what I'm talking about. The No Tortilla song, of course, is, you know, the wife yelling from the kitchen that there's no more tortillas, there's only bread, and your dad goes on to say...
He used the old song, you know, O Solo Mio, right. No, It's Now or Never. O Solo Mio, the Italian song, was turned into It's Now or Never. You know, Elvis had a version of it. And my dad took that melody and wrote, there's no tortillas,
only
bread. There's no tortillas, and I'm so sad. My grief I cannot hide. There's no tortillas for my refried. And so it's a hilarious song. Popular people, Chicanos, love it.
Oh, I love it,
You know, and he really was like that. I grew up with him, and every morning, I don't care if he's eating scrambled eggs, he wanted tortillas.
No? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what? That's like a staple of our entree. And I'm going to tell you a little story before we go into the next song, which is going to be Nunca Jamás. And basically what had happened was, there was, back in 95, I guess it was, I was running radio stations for Art LeBeau, I had a couple of radio stations there in Tucson, Arizona. And, so I decided to take the managers out for lunch, and we went to a Mexican restaurant. And, so, you know, I'm a big tortilla fan, like, you know, like your dad. I mean, it's like, if there's two pieces of rice left, I want another tortilla. You know, I'm not going to use my spoon, right? So I asked the waitress, I says, you know, I think I'm going to need another tortilla. And she looked at me and she goes, well, you know what? We were supposed to get another shipment today, and so we don't have any more. And I'm like, how does a Mexican restaurant not have tortillas? What do you do?
Outrage.
You should close down, right? I mean, you should close down for the day,
yeah.
Right? I says, not having tortillas is like running out of toilet paper.
Nice analogy.
So, I got a good laugh.
That's funny.
But it's true. You have no tortillas. I mean, you'd rather just not even eat.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Here's Nunca Jamás, yeah, here on CRN.
Jamás pensé llegar a quererte tanto. Nunca jamás pensé llegar a quererte así. Nunca jamás pensé derramar mi llanto por un amor que había de pagarme así. Sé que te vas, porque tú ya no me quieres. Piénsalo bien, porque me matarás. Odíame, miénteme. Te vas porque tú ya no me quieres. Piénsalo bien, porque me matarás. Olvídame y miénteme. Pégame y mátame si quieres, pero no me dejes. No, no me dejes.
That was Nunca Jamás here on CRN, and of course we're sitting here with Mark Guerrero, who is Lalo Guerrero's son, and we've had a wealth of information from Lalo Guerrero's history and all his career and so forth. I just want to point out, Mark, anytime that you want to come on to the show, and but please do keep us up to date with any projects that are going on with, about your father. I know your brother is doing, a documentary. We certainly want to know more about that, and anything, because he was definitely a true pioneer, and basically, most of the artists that we play on the Chicano Radio Network, he was the guy that opened the doors, so we definitely want to hear, he's won a number of awards. We had mentioned earlier that he had gone to the White House where President Bill Clinton had given him the award. And I want to point out that Lionel Hampton at the time also won an award. So
my brother and I were fortunate to have gone with him to the award ceremony and had dinner at the White House with, it's wonderful. There were, maybe a couple hundred people there.
Right.
And it was an incredible, surreal experience, as you can imagine. And some of the other recipients of the National Medal of the Arts that year were Robert Redford, the actor, director,
right.
Edward Albee, the playwright who wrote Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, among other things,
right.
Lionel Hampton, the great jazz player, and Stephen Sondheim, the great songwriter, lyricist who wrote the lyrics to West Side Story, A Little Night Music, and Send in the Clowns, that famous song. I mean, he's a
right.
great songwriter. So, I mean, it was a quite great company my dad was in, but he deserved to be right there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that just kind of impacts his importance in certainly Chicano music, but music in general. You know, we had talked a few times before about how the industry just has it really never opened the doors for the Mexican American. There's certainly a lot of there's certainly a lot of record companies and radio stations that are playing Mexican music, but the Chicano just doesn't have until, of course, the Chicano Radio Network came along in 1995. But I also wanted to talk about Ry Cooder. Now, he has some projects that involve some very incredible stuff.
In case some of your listeners don't know who Ry Cooder is, he's a legendary rock and blues guitarist, a recording artist. He made many albums under his own name. You know, he used to play with blues artist Taj Mahal back in the 60s. I mean, since the mid to late 60s, he's been on the music scene, and a great slide guitar player, just respected in the industry among musicians incredibly. And then he got huge fame with, he was the producer of the Buena Vista Social Club
right.
album and documentary. And that's where he went to Cuba and found all these pioneering Cuban musicians that were already in their 70s and 80s and did an album with them. And it sold millions of CDs, and it was an award-winning documentary. They did a concert at Carnegie Hall, and it was a phenomenon. And so Ry's current project, he just spent 3 years conceiving of and recording an album called Chavez Ravine. And the theme is the situation where the city of Los Angeles tore down a barrio, Chavez Ravine, to build Dodger Stadium. And so this album has all kinds of socio-political overtones and cultural overtones. And Ry Cooder put together a great cast of Chicano artists for this. And my dad was the first person he called. And my dad provided 3 songs for the album. One of them is a remake of his Barrio Viejo, and Flaco Jimenez is playing accordion on it. Another one is a remake of his famous Los Chucos Suaves, which was in the play and movie Zoot Suit. And then he wrote a song for the project called Corrido de Boxeo. And it ties into these two Mexican fighters that lived in Chavez Ravine. And it's a tremendous album. It just came out about 2 weeks ago. I hear it's selling very well. It's moving up the charts. And Ry Cooder just got back from a tour of England promoting the album. So it's an international thing. We're all hoping that this is going to be a big boost for Chicano music and for the artists that are on it. Aside from my dad, there's Little Willie G sings on several cuts, who was the original singer for
The Midnighters,
Ursi Arvisu.
Right.
And Rosella Arvisu. Ursi sings several lead vocals on here. She was the lead vocalist for El Chicano in 1970. And she also was a member of a group called The Sisters in East L.A. with her sisters, Rosella and Mary. They were part of the East Side scene. So, you know, David Hidalgo of Los Lobos plays on the album. Rudy Salas of Tierra sings a harmony on one song. And I helped out for a couple of days on my dad's sessions. My dad was pretty elderly at the time. He was already 86 or so, 85, when he did these recordings. And so I was there sort of helping out musically and otherwise. And so I got to witness a lot of what was going on. It was a tremendous project. So I highly recommend it. It's called Chavez Ravine by Ry Cooder. That's R-Y and then Cooder, C-O-O-D-E-R.
Well, if anything else, the popularity should signal to anybody that's in the business of putting out records that these things do sell. You know, the Social Club documentary that, I mean, they do sell. But, but people
what's so cool
have
about this album is, you know, some of the songs are totally in Spanish. Some of them are bilingual. Some of them are pachuco, you know, with galo or orale and
right.
stuff. And there's some in English. So it's truly you know, bicultural and very Chicano.
Right. Well, hopefully you'll go out and or go onto the internet and get yourself a copy of that. Of course, here on the Chicano Radio Network, we like to kind of keep you up to date with anything that's going on Chicano. So, of course, you want to get your daily fill of our programming.
Mm-hmm.
an- Another thing I want to bring out, too, is that there are some Lalo Guerrero CDs available. I know that Mark is working on some opportunities to put out more the best ofs and stuff like that. But I would recommend the compact disc that's out right now. It's called Recuerdos, which is Memories. And unfortunately, I couldn't really tell you where to get it except
that
for
YouTube. So you got to get it through me, or,
right?
You know, Break Records, or you know,
right? No. So go get on the internet and go to markguerrero.net or .com, as I understand, and you know, just email him, and he'll see to it that you get a copy of it. I guess the going rate is about $15, but I tell you what, this thing has some incredible songs on it, and it is jam packed. It has 20 songs on it.
Yes,
I mean
this is
great.
We just released, and this one is distributed, a CD of a lot of his comedy and parody things. It's got There's No Tortillas, No Chicanos on TV, Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Bus Boys, all those songs. It's called The Funny Side of Lalo Guerrero, and on Brown Bag Records, and that is available. It's distributed. You could probably order it at a store.
Mm-hmm.
Go to brownbagrecords.com. Or ask at your local store. That's The Funny Side of Lalo Guerrero. And then there was one released a couple of years ago called El Chicano, Lalo Guerrero, El Chicano Inolvidable, The Unforgettable Chicano.
And that's out of Florida, isn't it? Or
released on a Florida label.
Right.
That should be around. I have a story on it on my website. You can go to my website and read about that.
Again, Mark Guerrero at markguerrero.com. And also, please let us know, you know, when the new projects are available, because we'd certainly like to let our listeners know where they can get it and when it's been released and so forth.
I will.
Well, Mark, it was a pleasure. I had a wonderful time sitting down and chatting with you about this legend who happens to be your father. Anytime that we can do anything to promote his legacy, don't hesitate to call us. I look forward to talking more about your career. And it's ironic that you and your brother ended up kind of walking in the footsteps of your father, because you guys are still in the entertainment industry. Dan is he's a producer. He has a number of show credits. You know, he does live.
He's got his one-man show coming up where he's actually performing for the first time in like 30 years.
Oh, really? And what's that called?
Yeah, you'll have to ask him about it when you talk.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
He's got a one-man show starting up, and it's getting really good reviews, and so he uses a little comedy in it. He sings. He does a lot of things. He's showing his performing skills once again, because he started out as a performer, sort of a theater performer.
Oh, I didn't know that. I had the opportunity to work with him when I managed the band that was on the Al Día con María Cochinta. And he was a professional from the word go. And so I look forward to talking with him, and hopefully we'll be able to do some projects again together sometime in the near future. As a matter of fact, he's doing a documentary about your father, and that, I just, I'm at the edge of my seat. I can't wait to see it. You know, it's going to be wonderful. I understand. I talked to him yesterday. He's already had a number of different people that have been a part of that documentary. I guess Linda Ronstadt, Paul Rodriguez, Cheech Marin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, so it's going to be jam-packed with a lot of great information. And I'm sure that he's going to bring out some great pictures and maybe some video footage. But we'll let our listeners know when that's available.
That's good.
Andale pues, Mark. Again, thank you so much. And this is your home. Anytime you need to promote anything, just give us a call.
I'll get those CDs in the mail.
Andale. Thank you very much. And you're listening to the Chicano Pick of the Month. Of course, Lalo Guerrero will be featured during the course of the month. And if you want, you can give us your feedback on the program and how to get a hold of his music at info@crnlive.com. Thank you for listening. I'm Frank Miranda, sitting here with Mark Guerrero.
Thank you.
On the Chicano Radio Network. Thank you.
Viejo barrio, barrio viejo, solo hay lugares parejos, donde un día hubo casas, donde vivió nuestra raza, solo quedan los escombros. de los hogares felices, de las alegres familias, de esa gente que yo quise. Por las tardes se sentaba afuera a tomar el fresco. Yo pasaba y saludaba. Ya parece que oigo el eco. ¿Cómo está doña Juanita? Buenas tardes, Isabel. Hola, ¿qué dices, Chalita? ¿Cómo está Arturo y Manuel? Viejo barrio, barrio viejo, que en mi infancia te gocé, y con todos mis amigos iba descalzo y a pie, de la Mayer hasta el Hoyo, desde el Hoyo hasta la sequía, de la sequía hasta el río, ese era el mundo mío. Dicen que éramos pobres, pues yo nunca lo noté. Yo era feliz en mi mundo, de aquel barrio que adoré. Bonitas las serenatas a las 3 de la mañana que le cantaba mi chata pegadito a su ventana. Por la calle del convento, una casa destruida quedó como monumento al gran amor de mi vida. Pobrecito viejo barrio, cómo te debe doler cuando en nombre del progreso derrumban otra pared. Viejo barrio, barrio viejo, yo también ya envejecí, y cuando uno se hace viejo nadie se acuerda de ti. Vámonos muriendo juntos, que me entierren en tu suelo y seremos dos difuntos. Rodeados de mil recuerdos.
You're listening to the crossroads of Latino music from around the world.
Right.
On CRM